This morning, I've entitled my homily, The Encounter, and it's the encounter that Jesus has with St. Matthew. And there are three pictures in this gospel that I want us to meditate on. The first is that St. Mark tells us that he, Matthew, got up and followed Jesus. Secondly, that Jesus sat at Matthew's house and dined with him. And thirdly, the question of the religious types. Why does Jesus eat with tax collectors and sinners? So let's take a few minutes to meditate on each of these three images. First, we're told that Matthew got up and followed Jesus. This is such a beautiful and concise phrase, and it underlies something very important. There is a promptness to which Matthew responds to Jesus' invitation. At a general audience in August of 2006, Pope Benedict XVI was reflecting on this gospel passage. And this is what he says about Matthew's response to Jesus' invitation. Pope Benedict writes, "In this rising, one can see the detachment from a situation of sin and at the same time the conscious adherence to a new life, upright in communion with Jesus." So that's the first part of what we see with Matthew, a detachment from sin so he can be in communion with Jesus. Now, here's the thing about holiness. Holiness of life is not simply a separation from that which is sinful, but it is a participation in the love and the holiness of God. It's not just that separation from something, but transformation into someone. Transformation into that someone that God sees us and desires us to be. You've already experienced and know this in your life, that when Jesus calls us, he does not give us a map, but he does give us a compass. And when he gives us this compass, he's wanting to help to set the direction for our life. Indeed, this is exactly what happens with St. Matthew. And for us, each day, we are invited to follow him into deepening communion, a communion of love, and to keep our eyes fixed, as St. Peter says in his second letter, on a lamp shining in a dark place. Who is the lamp? It is Jesus, who in that reading from Hebrews is referred to as the Word, and that God's Word is living and active. And when we come to a deepening relationship with the one who is the Word, Jesus Christ, then in turn, we come to that recognition that something's happening in our life, that we're being changed, we're being transformed. But notice that after that move, St. Mark tells us that he, Jesus, went to have dinner at Matthew's home. Do you know that beautiful verse from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 21, which then has been turned into a beautiful painting by an English painter called Holman Hunt, called Jesus, Light of the World. And he's portraying the verse from Revelation 3:21, where Jesus says, "Behold, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you and you with me." And this is exactly what we see happening with the encounter that St. Matthew has with Jesus. He opens the door to allow Jesus in. What is at the heart of this meal, of this gathering at Matthew's house? I would suggest to you, they are celebrating Matthew's vocation, his vocation to now follow Jesus. But think about this. What if Matthew had said, "I'm not sure, Jesus, come back tomorrow." Or, "No, thank you, I think I'm just going to stay where I am. I have no desire to enter into your life and the encounter that you invite me into." Well, if that had happened, the other people who were also present that night would perhaps have never met Jesus. Think about it this way. Your encounter with Jesus, your life growing in relationship with Jesus, in some ways you don't know how it touches the lives of others. In other cases, you know very clearly how it touches the lives of others. But what Jesus is inviting us into, as we are entering into this deepening encounter with him, in turn, we want to be able to share that with others, to say Jesus is standing at the door and knocking, and there's nothing he desires more than communion with us. Isn't it beautiful that at Mass, we are always at Matthew's home? Whenever we come to Mass, we are sharing in this intimate meal with Jesus. He's standing at the door. And when we come to receive him in the Eucharist, we're saying, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, make me into you. And that brings us to the third point. The religious people were none too impressed with this Jesus and what he was doing, and so they asked the question of his disciples, so why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners? And we learn two lessons here. The first is the depth of God's love for every soul and how we must love others unconditionally. The depth of God's love for every soul and how we are to love sinners unconditionally. This verse from Romans 5:8. God proves his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before Matthew ever noticed Jesus, Jesus noticed Matthew. Now, loving a person unconditionally does not mean that we blithely accept their sin. We love them despite their sin. And in hope, we pray that one day that sin will be set aside and that in turn it allows us to express the most pure form of love towards others. And that is what we call mercy. Mercy is the one form of love that we can never directly exercise towards God. God does not need our mercy. But we are to express mercy to other human beings like you and like me. And what we also see and understand is that God's mercy directed towards us is the purest expression of his love that he can manifest. Remember what we heard in that reading from Hebrews? For we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with us in our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested like us and yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That gets to the heart of it. Do you see that St. Peter's is to be a manifestation of the mercy of Jesus Christ? That evermore this community is to be a place where people can indeed receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Therefore, when you and I put into practice 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, it does not keep record of wrongs, it is not easily angered, it endures all things, believes all things, hopes all things, it never ends. When we put into practice 1 Corinthians 13 love, we are practicing mercy, the highest form of love. Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners for the same reason. He called Matthew to follow him, to encounter Jesus, and he wants us to grow into that deepening encounter so that here St. Peter's will evermore become a community of encounter, a community where we share in this most remarkable love. I'd like to now offer a prayer. And maybe if you can just take a moment to close your eyes and to sit quietly for a moment of silence. God our Father, in your eyes, I am like a little child whom you tenderly watch over. God the Son, in your eyes, I am like a poor, helpless sheep whom you gently pick up and carry when I am worn out from my sins. God the Holy Spirit, in your eyes, I am like a dry piece of wood that you wish to set ablaze with the fire of your love. Thank you, Holy Trinity, for wanting to bring me into this encounter, into your holy friendship. I am completely unworthy of your love, but grateful to find rest and a true home in you. Amen.